Hello, friends, and thank you for joining us in a community of goodness, building up the common good for a greater good every day. Playing the songs and stories of people of America and people from all over the world, Larry Long. Recording the songs, the stories, the sounds of our communities, our friends and fellow citizens, Brett Hughes. I'm Tom Thibodeau, and today we honor Dr. Martin Luther King. I grew up in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, where we did not have any African-American citizens living there. I remember back in 1963, and I'm 12 years of age, and I'm playing Little League Baseball, and we're really excited because the Minnesota Twins located their Class A baseball team in Wisconsin Rapids. And the most popular player was Willie Adams. Willie was an African-American gentleman with a wonderful smile, and we'd bring our gloves to the game, and he'd stand along the third base line and play catch with us. We were playing catch with a big leaguer who would say, "Nice catch, throw it back. Give us a little coaching as to where to hold your arm." He cared about us. He was joyful and very respectful. I can remember after one Little League practice going over to the Dairy Queen where we'd stop for a little cone every once in a while, and there was a sign in the window that said, "No black people served here." Of course, they didn't use the word black. It was much more hateful. And I saw that sign sitting there, and I understood who they were talking about was Willie Adams, our third baseman. Our third baseman playing for the Twins. And I wondered, why is it that some adult isn't telling somebody to take that down? It's wrong. I realized that this good man was truly a good man and was being discriminated against. I didn't have that language when I was 12. Elie Wiesel writes, "What hurts the victim most is not the cruelty of the oppressor, but the silence of the bystander." Dr. Martin Luther King understood this, and that's why he encouraged all of us to find our voice, to stand up for what is right and good and just. Dr. Martin Luther King, on the night before he died, gave the mountaintop speech. He was in Memphis not only to lead civil rights work in that city, but also to unite the sanitation workers, people who collect our garbage, all those people who make our lives just a little more decent and our communities more habitable by the good work that they do. And he was speaking on behalf of their rights, many of them African American workers, but many white workers who were not getting a living wage for doing the work that they did. And so here he says this: "That's the question before you tonight. If I stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to my job? Not if I stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to all the hours I usually spend in my office every day and every week as a pastor. The question is not if I stop to help this man in need, what will happen to me? The question is, if I do not stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to them? That's the question. Let's rise up tonight with a greater readiness. Let us stand with a greater determination, and let us move on in these powerful days, these days of challenge, to make America what it ought to be. We have an opportunity to make America a better nation, and I want to thank God once more for allowing me to be here with you tonight. You know, several years ago, I was in New York City autographing the first book that I had written, and while sitting there autographing books, a demented black woman came up. The only question I heard from her was this: "Are you Martin Luther King?" And I was looking down, writing, and I said yes, and the next minute I felt something beating on my chest. Before I knew it, I had been stabbed by this demented woman. I was rushed to Harlem Hospital. It was a dark Saturday afternoon, and that blade had gone through, and the x-rays revealed that the tip of the blade was on the edge of my aorta, the main artery, and once that's punctured, you drowned in your own blood. That's the end of you. It came out in the New York Times the next morning that if I had merely sneezed, I would have died. Well, about 4 days later, they allowed me, after the operation, after my chest had been opened and the blade had been taken out, to move around in a wheelchair in the hospital. They allowed me to read some of the mail that came in from all over the states and the world. Kind letters came in. I read a few, but one of them I'll never forget. I had received one from the president and the vice president. I've forgotten what those telegrams said. I received a visit and a letter from the governor of New York, but I've forgotten what that letter said. But there was another letter that came from a little girl, a young girl who was a student at White Plains High School, and I looked at that letter, and I'll never forget it. It simply said, "Let us, dear Dr. King, I am a ninth grade student at White Plains High School." And she said, "While it should not matter, I would like to mention I'm a white girl. I read in the paper of your misfortune and of your suffering, and I read that if you had sneezed, you would have died. And I'm simply writing to say I'm so happy that you didn't sneeze. And I want to say tonight, I wanted to say tonight, too, that I'm happy I didn't sneeze, because if I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around in 1960 when students from all over the stalls started sitting at lunch counters, and I knew that as they were sitting in, they were really standing up for what was best for the American dream and taking the whole nation back to those great walls of democracy which were dug deep by the Founding Fathers in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around in 1961 when we decided to take a freedom ride and end segregation. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around in 1962 when Negroes in Alabama, Georgia decided to straighten up their backs, and wherever men and women straighten up their backs, they're going somewhere because a man can't ride on your back unless it's bent. And if I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been here in 1963 when black people from Birmingham, Alabama arose a conscience of this nation and brought into the Civil Rights Bill. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have had the chance later that year in August to try to tell America about a dream that I had had. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been down in Selma, Alabama to see the movement there. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been in Memphis to see a community rally around those brothers and sisters who are suffering. I'm so happy that I didn't sneeze."
To live to shout and sing until earth and heaven ring. With harmony, with liberty, from sea to shining sea. Oh, freedom,
freedom, oh, freedom, and you can get now and then.
Freedom,
oh, freedom,
and you
can
you
can
you
can
you imagine
that. In concluding the mountaintop speech, Dr. King said, "I left Atlanta this morning, and as we got started on the plane, there were six of us. The pilot said over the public address system, 'We are sorry for the delay, but we have Dr. Martin Luther King on the plane, and to be sure that all of the bags were checked, and to be sure that nothing would be wrong with on the plane, we had to check out everything carefully, and we've had the plane protected and guarded all night.' And then I got into Memphis, and some began to say the threats or talk about threats that were out. What would happen to me from some of our people who would want to harm me? Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop, and I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over the mountain. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we, as a people, will get to the promised land. And so I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any other person. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Every worthy prophet, and Dr. Martin Luther King certainly is a prophet for our time, denounces injustice and proclaims possibility. Thank you, Dr. King, for your words, your witness, and your challenge to us all.
Freedom, Oh Freedom was written with third grade students and I from the small rural town of Beatrice, Alabama, in honor of their community elder by the name of Mr. Ezra Cunningham through a partnership with Pacers Small Schools Cooperative. Here's Mr. Ezra Cunningham in his own voice and his own words.
See, they had a lunch counter right here in Monroe over Beatrice Hill, too. Nearby got it that way now. That you couldn't go in there. If you went in the drugstore in Monrovia, the white would be sitting here drinking coffee and eating. But you'd have to stand up, and they wouldn't even fix you a plate if you asked for it. They wouldn't fix you a plate. They wouldn't sell you anything to eat. But they would sell you drugs. All right. these boys was coming around sitting in and saying, now you got to serve us because we a citizen. That was called as the sit-in group, Students Nonviolent. John Lewis was down here in January, who went to jail 40 times and whose head got beat, and they left him for dead trying to get this kind of freedom. Then there was, there was other groups that was coming together in different parts of the country doing things trying to get what we call freedom. Then you had a girl that wouldn't get up off her seat in Montgomery. And they put her in jail. Now, I ain't talking about Rosa Parks. This was before Rosa Parks. All right. And they sent her to jail, and she was convicted. Then the next year, Rosa Parks got tired. Rosa Parks was an older person. And she did it. Then that set out the bus boycott. Then from that on into the march to the movement. So it was a whole group of people doing different things. But most people that give all the credit is to Dr. King's movement. But it was a lot of things that had started before then. Jimmie Lee Jackson got killed in Marion, Alabama. And then what started the movement from Selma to Montgomery, when they killed Jesse Lee, up there they was having a meeting. And a friend of mine, they was intending to kill him, they killed Jesse Lee. All right. Then some of the people said, let's take Jesse's body and carry it to Selma, to Montgomery, and sit it on the Capitol. But they didn't carry his body. Then they had meetings and meetings and meetings. Then the march developed. Then when they first started over the bridge, that's the time that they ran over John Lewis with the horses and Miss Boynton. She got a horseshoe in her head right now where the horse ran, stepped in her head. And they left her for dead. She lives in Detroit now, I think, along with Rosa Parks. Okay. Then the next week, it's the time that they got together. And see, all this was put on TV. And then that's the time they marched from Selma to Montgomery. And while they were marching, Viola Luisa got killed. Reverend Reeb got killed. Now, Dr. King wasn't the only fellow that got killed in this. He was the spokesman. But I know three whites. One got killed in Hainesville. One got killed out there on the highway. And one got killed in Selma. They was white. And they got killed before Dr. King did. But Dr. King got killed, then that kind of hushed the speaker. See, if you can hush the one that's in the front that's doing the talk, then you kind of got the others controlled. Now, there is a difference right now in what we call freedom. And, oh yeah, I want to bring in something else. The NAACP is one of the oldest organizations that was going to talk about freedom. So I don't know if we got complete freedom for black folks right now yet.
In the words of Dr. Bernice A. King, the beloved daughter of Dr. Martin Luther and Coretta Scott King, and now CEO of the King Center, she recently wrote, in the United States, one of the fundamental ways to have a voice in making the beloved community of my father a reality is the vote. It is a stark reminder that along party lines, there has been an unjust response to false claims of voter fraud, therefore based in part on fear-mongering, rooted in lies, voter suppression persist. As we examine changes in state voter laws, we should also explore another form of voter suppression, gerrymandering. Gerrymandering is manipulation of boundaries of electoral constituency in favor of one party or class. The fight for the soul of this nation continues. It's up to each of us to be vigilant. And that spirit, here's this song, Something for Me, Something for You, which features my dear friend J.D. Steele with his son Jason. It goes out to all of you in celebration of this day in which we honor not only the legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but all those who have sacrificed their lives to keep the dream of justice and liberty for all alive.
That's right. Something for me. Something for me. Uh-huh. Something for you. That's something for you.
You show love for me. I show love for you.
We gon' show love.
We take time to see what this world could be. We could live peacefully. We all could be free.
I'm the voice of the future, the next in charge. So this world's up to us to protect from harm. It's about love and peace and respecting each other. You shouldn't judge somebody just because of their color. Yo, we all a little different, something unique. But these same differences make the world complete. Whether boy or girl, put down those is whack. We need to show each other support instead of all that. Fighting just ain't the answer, we need to talk. And get past all the hate so we can see a resolve. And adults understand that we learn from you. Everything in this world that a person should do. Peace works for everybody, meaning me and you. And we can make Dr. King's dream really come true. Take time, spread love, and believe in you. And together we can learn to put love to use.
Something for me.
Something for me. Uh-huh.
Something for you.
Something for you.
You show love for me.
I'ma show love.
I show love for you.
You gon' show love.
We take time to see what this world
can
be.
Let's get it right. Not look like you, and you don't look like me. That don't mean we can't live here together in peace. Gotta learn to discuss the beauty in all culture. Then overcoming concern and a coming over. Be friends, laugh and play with each other. Don't that sound better than hating on each other? Work as a community, build and dream. Use love to be the best people that we can be. Just because we all have different dads and mothers doesn't mean we can't act like sisters and brothers. Tell the world we need peace and to stop the violence. They'll see it can work if they stop and try it. Little people do big things, it's up to us kids. Keep telling other people that it's better to give kindness and compliments instead of calling you names. Cause I know I wouldn't like it if you did it the same. We need to stop using hate and start using our brain. And only then will we really start making a change. We need to stop using hate and start using our brain. And only then will we really start making a change.
Something for me.
Something for me.
Something for you.
Something for you, yo.
Show love for me.
I'ma show love.
I show love for you.
24/7.
We take time to see.
We gon' take time.
What this world could be. We could live peacefully.
We can live peacefully.
We all could be free.
Sometimes I get sad at what I hear on the news or when I see kids getting in the fights at school. I know all are equal, that means we're all one. Not saying that there are differences that we need to love. We gotta learn patience and know what's right. We might disagree, but we don't have to fight. Respect is respect and we need to show it. That's why we came together on this song so you can know it. Since for the future, we telling you now. All the racism and hatred, we're shutting it down. We live and we learn and we share with one another and smile at the new things that we discover. And it's all from the heart, meaning nothing but love. And we're gonna make better what was given to us. It don't matter if you're out of town or live on my street. Just try to be a friend to whoever you meet and make peace. Yeah. And make peace. Yeah. Make peace. Yeah. And make peace to whoever you meet.
Something for me. Something for you.
That's right. That's right.
Show love for me.
That's right.
Time to see what this world could be. We could live peacefully. We all could be free. Something
that's right.
Me.
That's right.
I want to thank you all for listening to Community of Goodness. On this day in which we celebrate the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we still have a long ways to go, but I am assured that we will get there by working together for the common good, for the greater good of our beloved community.
Friends, in the spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King, let us bring peace and all good to our neighbors, our family members, and our community. Thank you for listening.
You have been listening to Community of Goodness with Larry Long and Tom Thibodeau, produced and recorded by Brett Hoos. For more information about Larry and Tom, please visit www.larrylong.org and www.tomttalks.com. We look forward to being with you next week. Thank you for listening.